Welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you with us here on the Mighty 790 KFGO and Super Talk 1270 KLXX. I thought I timed that perfect. I was waiting for the ready for it. Here it comes. Ready? Talk, 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 go. I used to be lonely. All right. We're going to be talking with the great folks from the AARP. They've got an event with Senator Hovind. Janice Cheney is here and John Hishta. Did I say that right, John?
You did.
How'd I do?
Not bad.
There you go. John's from the national office and Janice is from the state office. She's the director in state and someone that I'm very familiar with her work. Janice, good to have you on News and Views.
Thanks, Joel. Great to be here.
And John, welcome to North Dakota. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Janice, you got a big event coming up with Senator Hovind the way it looks.
We do. We have spent a lot of the last year and a half talking to people across the state about issues of related to Medicare and Social Security. Tonight, we are really gratified to have Senator Hovind participating in a listening session with members and others who are invited to join us at 6 o'clock at the Holiday Inn, and we'll have an opportunity to learn some very important information about what AARP has been doing, what we've been hearing, to hear about some of the facts of the program and the way it's built and the way it functions, and then to have input from the participants. And then towards the latter part of the program, we'll hear from some responses from the senator.
I know Senator Hovind and much of the delegation have been maligned for not taking town hall meetings and visiting with the public. I don't know how much more open to the public you can get than going to the Holiday Inn here in Fargo and sitting down and talking Social Security. I mean, I compliment him for
that. Right, absolutely. We're very delighted that he was willing to and able to, with his schedule, his busy schedule, to participate.
John, do you think people really understand Social Security? I mean, it's such a big part of all of our lives, and people look to it as a supplement to their retirement, or the negative side is many people look to it as their retirement.
Well, I would say for both Social Security and Medicare, I think people understand the importance of the programs in their lives and what it means to them individually in terms of whether or not they have the financial security to just live a life through dignity over the last few years of their lives. What they don't understand is the weird dynamic sometimes that comes out of Washington, D.C., and the debate that is occurring as to whether or not these programs are financially secure, not financially secure, what has to be done with them in order for them to exist, just not for this generation, but for future generations. And so what we're trying to do is bring the conversation out to the folks around the country so that they have an opportunity to learn more about that debate, some of the proposals that are being put forth in the Congress, and to hear from their elected officials like Senator Hovind about his ideas on how to strengthen Medicare and protect Social Security.
Now, you're a member organization. People sign up, and they're members of the AARP, and they expect you to advocate for them and protect their interests, which means that Social Security and Medicare are a big, big, big part of that. Does your organization, the AARP, have a position when it comes to any changes whatsoever to Social Security and Medicare?
Well, I'll tackle Social Security first, because that where we are right now is simply put, we have got to get a commitment from the Congress that the debate about Social Security needs to be separate from the current budget conversations. It didn't create any part of the budget deficit. It's not set up fundamentally as a program that ought to be included in the general government conversations about budgets. And until there is a separate debate about strengthening Social Security for Social Security's sake, we're not going to engage these folks, because then you open up a Pandora's box. Now, what we will say is there is currently a proposal on the table called Chain CPI that you may or may not have heard about, which is a fancy way of saying they're trying to curtail Social Security benefits, and at the same time, it's a backdoor tax increase to use to help solve part of the budget deficit. And that's not what the Social Security debate should be about. And until they're willing to accept the fact that this debate should be separate, should be about strengthening Social Security for this generation and future generations, we're not simply going to engage in specifics on that, and nobody is willing to do that yet. On the Medicare side, we've spent the last year and a half listening to our members, going around the country, talking about a lot of the proposals and that exist And we're finding that most folks want to see the Congress and the government focus more on the responsible solutions in the area of the program itself, whether it's waste, fraud, and abuse, bundled payments, issues around drug prices, none of which is a, to use a sports analogy, a home run, but it's a lot of singles that'll eventually add up, hopefully, to help put the program on a steady basis. And unfortunately, in D.C., you know, everybody thinks that you're going to solve these issues with one big burst of energy or around a week time frame, and you just can't do that.
Does your organization, let's go back to Social Security before we delve too deep into Medicare, because that is going to be, with Obamacare coming in, everybody's looking at their health plans and wondering how they're dealing with their health care coverage. But Social Security itself, when you talk to your members, which I know you both, Janice, you're very good at going out and visiting with your members. Are they ready for changes? I'm not talking about tax rates. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the knowledge and the ability to recognize that people live longer.
The short answer is I think that people generally understand that something has to give. If nothing happens, then we go from paying full benefits to folks to only being able to pay 75% of those benefits in 2033. So something has to give. And the more we're out there talking to folks and going through some of the proposals that are on the table, I think more people start to understand the need for some sort of modifications to the program. Again, what we coalesce around, I think, is still on the table in terms of the final solutions. You can tweak the program and go from full benefits to 2033 and add another 20 or 30 years onto it fairly simply with a few modifications here and there. But again, as I said in the beginning, you know, until our elected officials recognize that it is a separate conversation from the budget negotiations, we don't want to go there simply because they're going to use it as an opportunity to help solve a budget gap that has not been created by Social Security.
I want to, Janice, your members, North Dakota is an elderly state. I mean, we look at the future and we're happy to see the oil boom and we're happy to see a lot of things going on. But the truth is, you represent a big, big part of North Dakota in the age group that you have. What are you hearing from them?
Well, in the course of our conversations last year, we used a kind of a brief survey that we actually distributed to far more people than we were able to meet with face-to-face. We had thousands of North Dakotans take the survey last year, and we learned that, in particularly in regard to Social Security, well over 70% of them recognize the need for a balanced approach of benefit and revenue changes to make sure that Social Security would be available for future retirees. I think it's important to recognize, first of all, that our membership does start at 50, so that's not really old these days.
Well, I don't know. My kids sure teased me when I became a member.
Well, I got a few years on the two of you, so my kids tease me too, believe me. But those folks not only are looking at, you know, their own future, but the future for their children. I mean, recognizing the changing demographic, as you were mentioning, and changing business practices relating to pensions and retirement and so forth, Social Security becomes an ever more critical part of the package. It's never intended to be the only piece of retirement for folks, but it's part of a package, and it becomes ever more critical with the way things are changing these days.
John Hishta with the National Office and Janice Chaney, State Director of the AARP, is in studio with us. Folks, I don't know your schedule. I should have asked this before we started. Can we open the phone lines up and take some phone calls from people? Let's do that. 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. From the National Office of the AARP, as Janice Chaney does for the state of North Dakota, we're taking your phone calls on Social Security and Medicare. Tonight, Senator Hovind, 6 o'clock at the Fargo Holiday Inn. How did I do, Janice? I got that out there one more time. Did I do well?
That's great.
Oh, there you go. Let's take some phone calls. CT, you are on with these individuals. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Joel. I do hope the state and national do not accept the Joel Heitkamp proposal, which would make people work longer. There's many, many other alternatives to strengthen Social Security without raising the retirement age. We've come too far as a nation and too far as a society to lower the standard and make people work more.
Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to know how they feel about
that. You bet. Appreciate it, CT. John, what's your thoughts on that?
We agree. And part of the conversation about that also has to take into consideration what type of work people do.
Right. I
think, though, that most folks, particularly the decision makers in D.C., don't differentiate from certain types of employment around the country, and they view Social Security as a one-size-fits-all program. So before you even go down that path, let's have an honest conversation about where people are in their life and what type of work they do.
Yeah, if I'm one of my buddies rebuilding railroads, you're not built to go to 70.
That's right.
But if I'm a talk show host,
not built to be going to 70 either.
One of the best talk show hosts, one of the best morning AM guys is my buddy Tom Wynn, and I hope he never retires. So I do have a bias when it comes to some of that. Mavis, you're on News and Views. Go ahead, Mavis.
Hi. I got a couple of questions. For one thing, on the Social Security, I actually left a message for John Holman months ago to see how much seniors saved by not having an increase for, I believe it was 2 years or maybe three.
Okay.
So I never.
And what response did you get from him, Mavis?
Nothing.
Okay.
So are you talking about the lack of COLA increase?
Correct.
Got it.
For 2 years at least, maybe three, the seniors did not even get an increase.
It was based on what? Consumer price index?
It was based on the economy too.
And right.
You know, so
the economy was supposedly flat, and
right.
Even though car costs were going up,
you know, and one of the problems, particularly for folks who are on Social Security itself, is a lot of their Social Security gets eaten up by healthcare and Medicare supplementary costs too. So by not getting that COLA, or if they do get a small COLA, usually it goes right back into their health care costs.
What does the Affordable Health Care Act do to change the equation?
The Affordable Health Care Act really does not change Medicare substantially at all. If anything, what it does is add some benefits to people, preventive screenings and other kinds of testing that helps keep people healthy that people will be able to access at no out-of-pocket cost.
And from our perspective, it changes the equation in our membership from the 50 to 64 age bracket for those who haven't been able to afford insurance or may need health insurance. And now we'll have an opportunity to go into these exchanges and look at purchasing low-cost insurance moving forward.
I want to go back to something that CT said, which I think a lot of people agree with him and you on. And I want to defend my position maybe a little bit better. We hail from a state where we're desperately in need of workers. That doesn't mean you should work people past the point of what they can work.
Right.
Or let them not ever enjoy retirement. I understand that. That's not my premise at all. Also, Janice and I were talking before any of this started about the era that we grew up in, where we saw what it was like for people who didn't have the dignity that Social Security gives you. But that being said, what I'm finding is more people do want to work. And so, Janice, I'm going to ask you, from your member standpoint, are you seeing more of them want to stay in the workplace?
You know, the demographics suggests, and the research that we do suggests, that an awful lot of people are thinking about retiring from their current position, but they have things that they want to do in other fields or in other areas. And so there's a lot of emphasis these days on people finishing with one career and starting another, whether it's as an entrepreneur and starting a business, something that they've always wanted to do, or even going back to school in some way. And AARP has got some great tools out there, too, for helping people sort of assess what might be next. I would encourage people, just as a side note, to go to lifereimagined.org and take a look at the information there. AARP has done a lot of work over the last few years with people wanting to transition from one kind of career to another and helping people, because, of course, in other parts of the country, the job market isn't what it is in North Dakota,
yeah.
But helping people connect with available jobs and connect with the tools and resources to get better work or another job.
The only thing I would add to that is we need to differentiate, too, between the difference of people who want to work longer and those who have to work longer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we forget about that.
Yeah, exactly. And whether or not you even have the ability to ever retire. All right, let's go back to the phone lines and let's get to Neil. Neil, you're on News and Views. Go ahead, Neil.
Say, my question is I had to go into the Alexandria Social Security office to take care of some business. And I was surprised when I went in there, there was an armed guard in there, and they tell me that's nationwide. And can you, your guests say, is that part of Homeland Security, or why do we got armed guards in there?
Are you sure you weren't, Neil, in the federal building in Alexandria, which that is common in every federal building now?
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the case in federal buildings.
I actually had a comment about that from someone just a week or so ago who had gone to the Social Security office in Bismarck, and that was that is apparently their standard. I don't know what the genesis of it is. I don't know what the reason at all is, but apparently.
Well, I don't know why I get wanded every time I go through an airport other than the fact I got a fake knee. Mm. All right, let's get to this. Senator Hovind, tonight, Fargo Holiday Inn, when, Janice?
6 p.m., and we will have light refreshments for folks and a chance to engage around these important issues and to take a look at the future, at giving the senator some input and then hearing some of his thoughts about the issues.
John, Janice, thanks for what you do.
Thanks
for having us.
Appreciate you coming by. Let's talk pep rally right after this.
Remember trying to tarp the green.